throughout the course of just a few hours and try and scam them. So just be careful of that. I'm Benson Gregory, and this has been Focus, a public affairs presentation of the Christian Broadcasting System. See the schedule for your favorite program and maybe discover some new programs with our program guide at WJMM.com.
Life 99 WJMM FM Keene, a service of the Christian Broadcasting System. WJMM.
We love to make you a winner. Stay up to date on all of our latest promotions and concert and ticket giveaways at WJMM.com.
From Life 99, this is the weekly broadcast Echoes from Pleasant Green, sponsored by Historic Pleasant Green Baptist Church. Historic Pleasant Green Baptist Church is located at 540 West Maxwell Street, founded in 1790 and one of the oldest churches west of the Alleghenies, in the same location since 1822.
Historic Pleasant Green Missionary Baptist Church, 540 West Maxwell Street, Lexington, Kentucky. This is Rod Jones, Associate Minister, speaking. We certainly pray for our sick and shut-in and all of those matters that call for our attention. We want to pray for, of course, the victims of the earthquake. Also pray for the folks in Dominican Republic with the collapse of the building. We want to pray for the people in Ukraine and also people in Gaza Strip. We want to pray for everybody that's enduring the situation with the flood, whether their house is totally destroyed, or property totally destroyed, or basement flooded, or cars flooded. You have to give thanks to God because these things will be replaced. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying we just bat an eye at, you know, homes, at the price of homes these days. But what I'm saying is that God can give you strength to start over again. We want to pray, of course, speaking of the flood, the 90-year-old boy who was swept away by the flood, I believe it was in Frankfort, Kentucky. I want to pray for the measles outbreak across the country. We want to pray for the United States government, with these tariffs and other things that are affecting the stock market. We also want to pray that the church needs to speak up when things are not right. We need to voice our opinion. Regardless of who's sitting in the chair, we need to let know that the Lord is sovereign, and everyone in his creation is accountable to the way we conduct ourselves and the way we represent the people of the land. We want to pray for Sister Beverly Bowman, who is at UK Medical Center, Sister Cheryl Duncan in Houston, Texas, Sister Ruth Gaylord, also Sister, I'm going to pronounce this the best way I can, Pat Allen Moberly, this would be a cousin of Sister Marva Eubank, Brother Charles Moore Sr., Brother Stephen Prater, Sister Mary Thomas and her whole family, Sister Cheryl Taylor, Brother Ashley Roach, Sister Nat Reed, Sister Dorothy Offutt, the Lee family. Want to pray for Brother Greg Forrest. This is the nephew of Sister Janice Jackson, Sister Barbara Ridgeway. Also want to lift up Sister Iris Horace. This is the niece of Sister Janice Jackson and Sister Barbara Ridgeway. Want to lift up and remember the Brooks family in both Kentucky and Alabama, Sister Lillian Bell, Reverend Freddie Moody and his family, Sister Cheryl Haskins, Sister Norma Johnson, Sister Tammy Hayden, Sister Jenny Cotton, the Morton family, Sister Thelma Masterson, Sister Dolores Spencer, Sister Thelma Peoples, and Reverend Michael Smith and his family. We want to thank all of those who are recording on Tuesday evening. We want to thank Michael Smith, Reverend Michael Smith, who is our prayer service leader. Also want to pray on Sunday morning, those that bring the broadcast, both by Zoom and Facebook and other means, want to pray for that audio-video committee. Also want to pray for the choir leaders and the musicians that help us worship our Lord and Savior each and every Sunday. Now, our Sunday Bible study lesson for April 13th, 2025. It is entitled Healing, Jesus' Power for Healing. It is taken out of the Gospel according to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. That's the Gospel according to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 for April 13th, 2025. Now, again, this gospel account was penned by John Mark. He was not an apostle, but he was a follower. Now, John Mark, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, penned this gospel account. This is the same John Mark who followed Peter from afar off when Peter followed our Lord after they arrested Jesus to take him to his, what we call, kangaroo court or illegal trials per the Mishnah and other codifications. This is the same John Mark who Paul and Barnabas fell out about. We have to understand that our Lord is a God of second and third chances. And even though, due to his youth, he abandoned Paul on one of his missionary journeys, but during the last hour, we read that Paul asked for John Mark to come to him. My longtime pastor, Dr. Peoples, taught me that John Mark gets an A+ because his recordings and authorship is powerful and goes straight to the point. I admit there are times for strategic approach and delivery. And there's also, we have to recognize, a straight ahead approach. And Mark does not mess around, for Mark goes right to the matter. He does not have an introduction of the lineage of Joseph and the lineage of Mary going back to the house of David. He goes right to the point. Now, looking at what's going on in our lesson, I want to note that our experience in life can influence our behavior. Case in point, the folks that Jesus ministered to during this early period of his Galilean ministry that we see in the Gospel according to Mark, well, these folks have heard how Jesus gave a personal touch to preaching, to his miracles, and to their deliverance. So their approach was to get close to Jesus so Jesus can touch, like we see the woman with the issue of blood and others. On the other hand, a different experience, as we see with the centurion who gives his orders to be carried out, with the result being verified without him even being present. This centurion is given a report that his orders were carried out. So this is why, when we see in the gospel account from the centurion's experience, he asked Jesus well, you do not have to come under my roof. I'm not worthy. All you have to do is just say the word. Because the centurion understood that Jesus' authority goes beyond what the eyes can see. Now, Mark depicts Jesus as an ox, a worker. Now, remember, we see the types and shadow of the gospel way back in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel was explaining the features of the highest order of the angelic rites, which we call the seraphim or cherubs. Ezekiel said that these creatures have four-sided face, that of a lion, which is the gospel according to Matthew, that of an ox, which is the gospel according to Mark, that of a man, which is the gospel according to Luke, and that of an eagle, which is the gospel according to John. So, again, Mark depicts Jesus as a not just a worker, but a wonder worker. When we look at Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, 15, Jesus recorded saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. There is no fact in Mark's account. And we see this same setting of close friends lowering a man that is stricken with paralysis through the rooftop of a house, most likely it would have been Peter's house. So we see this same setting recorded in other gospel accounts, the gospel according to Luke 5:17-24, and the gospel according to Matthew chapter 9, verses 2-7. Now, when you pull back the onion, this is part of his Galilean ministry. And this is in Capernaum. And as I said before, most likely the house belongs to Peter. So that means that our Lord most likely used Peter's house as a headquarters or a depot for him to do his work. People knew that the Lord would often visit Peter's house. So people usually came to Peter's house to ask Jesus for a miracle. So verse 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum. So this tells us that he often entered into this city. So he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. We say nowadays certain persons in the house. But the main person that we need to recognize that's in the house is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Really doesn't matter if I'm in the house or somebody else. What we want is Jesus to be in our house, and that makes a difference. And straightway, many were gathered together in such much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So, verse 2, in chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Mark, records that the house was packed. And I felt that what's odd is people noted in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28-29, that Jesus taught with authority. He moves with authority, unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, I realize in some cases, people are there for the loaves because they will be fed. I realize that people are there to have their bellies full. Some come and never have heard such teachings before. Not all is there for superficial reasons. Some are there because they realize that Jesus, the Son of David, he is the Messiah that the Old Testament taught in verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, or one being paralyzed, which was born of four. In other words, he had four friends that carried him. In verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, or better yet, for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, I thought as a side note, they breaking up somebody's home and put yourself there, as much as shingles and rooftop cost nowadays, it's like somebody crashing through. Well, you have to understand that these four men lowered through the rooftop. Houses back then had flat roofs with stairs on the side of the house that gave or grant access to the rooftop. Most rooftops were constructed of wooden beams, and they used either wooden shingles or they used leaves or branches, especially palm branches, and lay them in a staggering, alternating method. A lot of times they would use tar or most likely mud to help seal and to help repel rain. Now, they came through the rooftop because they were persistent in their efforts. And in verse 5, it is noted that Jesus saw their faith. Put a pen there. He said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins are forgiven. Or in another one, son, thy sins be forgiven. Now, I thought this is odd because, one, unlike my chapter 6, verse 5, which we can see also in Matthew 13:58, it baffles me because the scripture says Jesus did no work because of the lack of faith. Like the centurion, Jesus saw their faith. Now, this is a teaching point here because when you look at this and look at today's teachings, we have many brands of faith. And some of these faiths sprang off from the Reform movement led by Martin Luther and John Calvin and such. A lot of the fallacies of the Reformed faith teaches regeneration before faith. But we notice in Mark 1:15, Jesus even said, repent and believe. He didn't say anything about you save automatically because you have been elected. And remember, election has nothing to do, election is not salvation. Note that Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith. Notice Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after ye have heard the word of truth, after that ye believe. I'm saying all of this because I'm pointing out to faith. Yes, God is the one that gives us faith, but we have to embrace and accept the gift of faith along with the gift of grace. Election and predestination has to do with once we are in Christ, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. I remember reading books by Dr. Hobbs and Dr. Turner and Dr. E.Y. Mullins saying that election is a building, and those that are in the building will be saved. So that's how we have to look at this. It says because of their faith. Jesus points that out, because of their faith. And again, there's a lot of reform, including Baptists, including Southern Baptists. But we have to understand that we see nowhere in the scriptures where God wants to save few as possible. We don't want to see in the scriptures where everything is so predetermined, where you can easily make God the author of sin. We have to understand that God created us with a limited free agency, but we have to be careful of extreme doctrine that makes God limited his grace unto a certain amount of people. All men have the capacity to be saved. All men has the capacity to embrace faith. In verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts. Now, the scribes was not a political party like the zealots, Essenes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. These were PhDs and lawyers. These men knew linguistics. These men knew theology. Yes, the priests would know theology as well, but these men were more like the doctors of the law. They knew about translation. They knew about transcribing. But yet, these scribes were also a problem for Jesus, for they did not embrace his teaching. Now, it's not that God, you have to look at self-hardening and judicial hardening. The scripture teaches that men reject Jesus out of their free choice. We don't see in the scriptures where God hardens the heart to a point where people reject him. Yeah, I know we see that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but really Pharaoh hardened his own heart. What that means in Pharaoh cases is God allowed to bring what was truly under the surface of Pharaoh's heart, he brought it to light. That's how you look at the hardening of the heart with Pharaoh's. God does not harden anybody's heart to a point where they reject God. And by the same token, God does not regenerate people before faith. We have to be careful of extreme teachings, including there's a lot of Baptists that go along within the Southern Baptist Convention. They was arguing for the last 2 years how the people, the presidents of the various Baptist seminaries are from the Reformed side, and they have the power to fire and hire faculty who do not embrace the teachings of John Calvin. But most Baptist people, as well as pastors, are not Calvinistic. It's just a little teaching for the audience. Now, verse 7, Jesus is observing everything, not only the people, but even the scribes. So the scribes were saying in their heart, and we see in many cases where Jesus, or the scripture records, and Jesus knew their heart. And verse said, why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? Because their eyes was blind, they did not recognize that this is God. Jesus is God. They have a unmoved heart. In verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? See, that tells us that Jesus is God because he understands these things. Yes, he has a human nature, and yes, the humanity served as a vehicle for the divinity, but he was still God. He perceives in their heart. God knows what's in our heart. In verse 9, and remember, knowing, all-knowing, omniscient, Jesus retained his godly qualities when he came this way. It's just that he restricted the uses of those independent prerogatives. In verse 9, whether it is easier to say to the sick or the palsy, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up their bed and walk. You know what? If Jesus would have healed, then that would also be a problem. There was a time where Jesus just healed, and because it was the Sabbath, it was a problem. But yet, Jesus pointed out, if your ox was in the ditch, you forget all about the law, you forget about being so pious, you forget all about that stuff, and you would see, hey, the way I make money, the way I make a living needs help. So the Pharisees and the religious leaders were not always consistent with their belief. Money ruled their pockets and ruled their hearts, just like today. We have to understand that Jesus has the authority to forgive. Only God can forgive. So it's easy to understand that Jesus must be God if God is the only one that can forgive men of their sins. Now, I might give them, the religious leader being them, a little break, because there were people on the scene either before Jesus, even a century before Jesus' earthly ministry, and during the same time claiming to be the Messiah. So people were used to seeing false messiahs. People were used to seeing men making outrageous claims. But those men did not do the works. Those men did not preach the word. And those men did not have the authority that Jesus has.